You ever feel this way with my title? Just not strong enough. I think we all feel that way. I'm just not strong enough. I'm not strong enough to face tomorrow. I'm not strong enough to get through this season. I'm not strong enough to be the mom or dad I should be, or the person I should be. I'm not strong enough to be the wife or husband, whatever it is. I'm just not strong enough. You know, it's just not in me. I fail, I'm weak, I falter, and I just don't seem to have the strength to be what God wants me to be. But we'll talk about that this morning, because I think we've all been there. Maybe you're there this morning. You're just not strong enough. You're like, I just can't handle anymore. I don't want to handle anymore. I can't handle anymore. But we got to realize that our strength cannot be our strength. Our strength must be God's strength. And God's strength is endless. And God's strength is full of endless sources. But as long as we try to do it ourselves, and I understand that some of us, it's in our DNA that we got so much pride that it just oozes out of us. We won't take help from nobody. I'm not asking nobody for nothing. That's kind of how we feel sometimes. Because I'm a strong, independent man. I'm a strong, independent woman. My roots go way back to the Wilkesboro Mountains or the hills of Tennessee or the deserts of Arizona, whatever your roots go back to. And that's how my pawpaw was and his pawpaw was. And by George, that's how I am. We just don't ask for help. We just suck it up and we do it. Well, that's a very frustrating life. Because you may say you're sucking it up, but you're really getting sucked in. Without God's strength, we have no hope and we have no power to do anything. So we're going to talk about the strength of God this morning. And we're going to start in the book of Nehemiah. A little book of Nehemiah. And then we're going to be in Psalms quite a bit. But we're starting in Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8. I believe it is. Yes, chapter 8. And this is when they were rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem. And Nehemiah is a... verse 5. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. They showed reverence to the word of God. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then verse 7, we're going to skip the very last part because I've got a lot of names in there that will make me sound really stupid. And the names really don't matter. So let's just skip to the last part. It says that all these people caused the people to understand the law. Now that part's important. These people caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Verse 9, Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said to the people, this day is a holy unto your Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Why were they weeping? They were weeping because they heard what the law said, and they recognized their sin. They recognized their mistakes. They recognized their failures. They recognized, you know, is there any hope for me because of what the law says? But then it goes on to be get a lot more positive here. Verse 10, he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord. You know, how can we have joy in the Lord? The reason we have joy in the Lord is we know what the Lord done for us. That's how we have joy. We know what God did for us. We know what the Word of God says too, and that's why we as Christians should weep no more. We should mourn no more. The days of mourning are over because Christ came. The days of mourning have ended because Christ came. We're no longer left alone. We're no longer left separated from God. We've now been brought together and reconciled unto Christ through His sacrifice. And that's good news. That's how we have joy, when we know what God has done for us. Don't we joy when someone gives a gift? We're so happy they gave us a gift and they showed us something, they gave us something. I mean, if I come and, you know, I pull a car up to, you know, Chuck's house, here's a brand new Corvette, here's the keys, brother, it's yours, he's going to be pretty happy. I'm going to see some joy. If I don't see some joy, I'm going to take it away and I'm going to give it to Tim. You know, so whatever. Okay, I'll see some joy. Because why? He's received this beautiful gift. We receive the gift of grace and mercy and righteousness that we didn't earn, that we couldn't work for, that we can't keep. And the best news yet, we can't lose because of what Jesus did. He paid that price for us. And so that's why our joy should be in the Lord. And when that's in the Lord, then we have strength. Because all the lies of the devil don't matter no more. When the devil whispers to you, what if you don't make it? You can look at him and without using curse words. What do you mean, what if? Don't tell me what if. I already know what the good news says. It's a done deal, Mr. Satan, because the tomb is empty now, and it will never be filled again with the Lamb of God. He broke wide open the depth of hell and the grave for us and gave us eternal life. When we know that, man, we can have some joy in the Lord. See, we, as people, we love to celebrate celebrities. We love it. You know, when I went to the game last week in Pittsburgh, that Thursday night game, I was up there. I got as close as the back row to three NFL players. Michael Irvin, Marshall Faulk, Steve Smith. You know, that was cool. Don't know anything about them. They don't change my life whatsoever. But just to know who they were was a little bit of a high. You know what I'm saying? It's a little bit of a high. Man, that I hate the Cowboys. But man, that's Michael Irvin. You got to respect that. You know, that's Marshall Faulk, San Diego State graduate. You got to respect that. And there's Steve Smith, little fiery Panther that played for many years for the Panthers. Little 5 foot nothing, 100 nothing. Act like he was a chihuahua, act like he was a Great Dane. That was pretty cool. They don't change my life. They didn't know I was there. They didn't look at me on the air and say, hi, it's James Lewis from North Carolina. Hey, Jay, come on up here, brother. Grab a mic. Boy, I'd have loved that. I'd have winged it all right. I'd have did all right. Just because of who they were, it got me excited. We all have that person. For all of you to say, oh, there ain't nobody. Look, if your soap opera star walked in this church today, you'd be melting like cheese on the microwave. We all have someone who gets us excited. For Melanie, it's me. That's great. We all have someone who gets us excited. So the point is this. If we really know who the Lord is, my God, that's how we have joy and excitement and passion to know who He is and what He done for us. But the wrong message of God's been painted for so many years. That's why people aren't excited, because all they see is this dreadful judge, this unfair, unjust God who punishes and does this and does this. Whenever He came to remove the judgment off of our lives through the cross, there is now therefore no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. That's not my words, that's the word. That's what gets us excited. So the joy of the Lord is our strength. We know that we're not happy. We don't have no power. Jewel, when Chuck's in a bad mood, he's just not happy. He's miserable to live with, ain't he? Yeah. But when he's happy and joyful, you know the old saying, happy wife, happy life? If you don't know it, that's a true saying. Happy wife, happy life. Boy, that's true. Because when Melanie's happy in a good mood, it just perks me right up. And when she's not in a good mood, I just want to go the other way and leave her alone forever. I'm like, man, joy is something that we lose because it's not attached to who we're serving. It's attached to what's happening around us. There's a big difference. We're not joyful because the bills are paid, which is a good thing. We're not joyful because we got the new car, which can be nice. We're not joyful because things are going right. We should be joyful because of who we serve, period. And when our joy's attached to that, someone texted me yesterday and said, I went to church with this person for years and years growing up with them. They text me and says, do you ever wonder why things happen sometimes? It just really makes you question sometimes, you know, when you're a believer and you have faith in God, do you ever wonder why some things just happen? And I text back, I said, I do, of course, wonder why things happen. But something I've learned, especially the last couple of years of my life, is I have learned to trust God in it all and to realize that His will is being fulfilled even if I don't like it or agree with it. And if I can learn to trust God and not what's happening and coming against me, but trust God who lives inside of me, it changes how I perceive life completely. It'll change your world. How many times have we reverted back to, we've all done this when things happen. You know, I'm not praying enough. I'm not serving God enough. You know, I'm not going to do this. And nothing I do ever seems to matter. Well, in a sense, we sow the right seeds, yes. But in a sense, it does come down to God's will being done. And this is what Job recognized. I mean, man, none of us have been through what Job went through. Lose all your kids and lose all your finance and your health. I mean, he was under complete attack. But his trust was in God. Not on what was happening against him, but what had happened to him, his creator. And he still blessed the Lord because his faith and his expectation and his hope and his joy and his peace was not attached to what was happening in the earth. It was what had happened to him spiritually. That's what gives us our strength, is when we start walking in joy and peace. And we can't have joy and peace if we don't know who we serve. If we don't know anything about who we serve, how can we have joy and peace? We've got to know who we serve. Next scripture is verse 11. The Levites, which were the priests, stilled all the people, saying, "Hold your peace, for this day is holy, neither be grieved." Don't grieve no more. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. When we begin to understand the word of God, when it becomes alive to us, this is a living word. This word, this ministry name came from. We first started Living Word because I began to pray, "Lord, we need a name." And Living Word was the first one that burst into my spirit. I had several more that came, but I kept coming back. Living Word, Living Word. It's a living word for a living people. This word is alive. And there's times we read a verse our whole lives and we don't get it. People tell me all the time, "Pastor, I try to read the Bible, I don't get it." Keep on reading. I promise you, as you keep on reading it, you will get it, because God will make that verse so alive to you, it'll birth fruit that'll never, ever pass away once you get it. When we understand the word, understand who Jesus is, it changed our lives. We won't weep no more. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and we'll be glad and we'll be happy because we know who we serve and what He came to do, and that our end result has already been booked. Our ticket has been punched. Our reservation has been made. And we know where we're heading. We know where we're going. We know where we end up at because of what Jesus did. Strength. We have to rely on the strength of God, and being strong in the Lord means understanding God and who He is. Let's turn to Psalms now. We'll be in Psalms for several chapters. Psalms 28, 7, 8, verse 7 and 8. It's 28, verse 7 and 8. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him." It all goes back to our anchor being in Him, not what happens to us. So many people I talk to are so discouraged because they let everything that happens against them pull them under. We can't allow that to happen. If our faith is in our circumstances, and our faith really not in God, it's in our circumstances. It's in what we control, what we can do, what happens to us. And we know, I don't care how much we prophesy or speak God's word, we realize there are things that aren't going to turn out the way we speak them, or maybe the way that we believe them. There are things that are going to turn out to maybe set us back and say, that didn't happen the way you prayed, did it? No, it didn't. There we are in the balance. What do we do? Do we keep trusting God and say, "Okay, I still trust God"? Or does it set us back to say, "You know what? I prayed, it didn't happen, and I'm done"? Where's our faith? Because whatever our faith lies in is what our strength lies in. If our faith's in God, our strength's in God. If our faith's in us, our strength's in us. And I don't have that much strength, because, man, life can beat you down, especially you married and raising kids. It can beat you down. By the time you get the third kid, you're like, "Lord, take the wheel." That's all I got to say. Life can be so extremely hard. And we cannot allow the things in life to derail us of our faith in God. We either believe he is who he is or we don't. We believe he's the God of the mountain. He's the God of the valley. We believe he's the God in the good times. He's the God in the bad times. We believe he's God when we can't see truth or see any answers. And we believe God when all the answers pound us. We got to believe. Our faith's got to believe. And I tell you, when you start really trusting in God, you have a peace you didn't have before. See, our peace cannot be attached to if our prayers are answered the way we pray for them. Our peace got to be attached to, and I missed a very key verse last week, and I apologize, my message last Sunday. Melanie reminded me. It was up there on the screen, but I didn't read it. I think that's what it was. But we was talking about God's will being done. And I missed the verse where Jesus, the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus was praying, you know, and he said, here's how you ought to pray. You know, your will be done in earth as is in heaven. Your will be done. God, I want your will to be done. And man, you know, when we pray that, we like to pray because it sounds religious and humble and Christian-y. But at the same time we're praying that, we know we're setting ourselves up maybe, right, for possible disappointment. Because we say, Lord, I want your will to be done. Here's what I really want done. But God, I want your will to be done. Because we know sometimes, I don't care what, I'm telling you, we know sometimes that the will of God for us is not our will. We looked for a house a few years ago. We thought we had this house we loved 4 years ago. Of course, we moved, as y'all know, about a year ago. But 4 years ago, we was looking for houses. We found one. We fell in love with it. We thought that was the one. I mean, we already had ourselves moved in and living there with the address. And I had my slippers and my golden retriever and my pipe in my mouth. We was ready to roll. You know what I'm saying? And it didn't work out. And I told you this. We had our house to market. And you understand how this works now, especially what you're going through. We had a house in the market. We had 28 house showings. That's a lot. 28 house showings in a seven-month period. Zero offers. I was getting pretty discouraged. What's wrong with my house, man? It's a nice house. What's wrong with it? Why nobody want my house? Finally told me, I said, God's not in this. So we took it off the market, stayed there, you know, two, 3 more years. The house that we was interested in, the woman that owned it, her dad went and set it on fire. And it's got a big hole all in it. And she's a psycho person. I mean, psycho. The woman that had the house was psycho. See, God knew that. He knew I'd be in a shower one day, and here comes psycho. You know what I'm saying? He knew. So he's like, you know, God protected us from our own selves. That's the beautiful thing. God protects us from our own selves with good intent. I mean, it was a nice house, and it was in a price range, and we liked the area. It wasn't that, you know, we were out looking for something way out Jupiter way. We're looking for something that fits our family. But God stepped in and stopped that, and God shut the door. And I thank God he shut the door because we'd be dead. You be reading the paper, family of four, slaughtered. I'm telling you, we be dead. Thank God he shut the door. And now we got the place, and it's so weird. The place we're in now was not an area we was even looking at. It's a part of the county we wasn't even looking at. It's just amazing how God just worked things out. Because his will was done, not ours. Let's just trust God. Oh, yeah, and the second time upon the market, you've heard this before, though. Upon the market, you know, a year ago, a little over a year ago, year and a half ago. And the first day hit the open market. First day, we had a family come by, made an offer day one, sold it day one. So the first time, 28 showings, 8 months, no offers. Second time, one day, first day, one offer, sold. See, my house was nice. So that was, my feelings were really getting hurt. We did a lot of work to that house. God showed up. God did it because his will was done. So when we pray, God, I want your will to be done, when we accept that, you know what? Then we remain strong in the face of adversity. Adversity doesn't pull us down every time. When adversity comes and shuts the door, we can say, okay, we prayed, God answered. Let's move forward and trust God and not wonder, what did I do wrong? Man, the I gets in the way so much. What did I do wrong? Why didn't I? Maybe if I'd have done this or if I'd have done that. If we trust the will of God, it's about God's will, not I will. So let's trust God. He's our strength. He's our shield. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth. And With my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. The saving strength. I mean, it's just, you know how if you work out, you know, you do weights or anything, and when you first, you know, do like bicep curls or chest or whatever, the blood's flowing, right? So you're a little more pump, you're a little more plumpy in those areas because you just did it, right? And you're in the mirror and you're like, you just did 10 sets, you know, 3 sets of 10 of bicep curls, and you look in the mirror and your veins popping out right there. You feel strong, man. I mean, you're just, you know, girl walks by, you're doing like this, you know. You think you look like this, but you really look like that, you know. And you just feel so strong and so tight, and you look in the mirror and you know, you see yourself different than probably what you really are. You know, God, if we could look at God's strength and realize, man, I'm strong in God. Look at my life. God's got me. God's got my family. God's got my health. God's got my finance. God's got my future. God's forgiven my past. God's in my present. God's everywhere. When I look in the mirror, I see the power of God, not the power of me. I don't see me straining to be strong. I see God making me strong. I don't see me having to put an effort to remain strong. I see his presence making me strong and keeping me strong. In the face of adversity, his strength will prevail. If it's his strength we're walking in, it will prevail. Next scripture is going to be in Psalms 68:35. Oh God, thou art terrible, which means great. Out of thy holy place, the God of Israel, is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. It's him that giveth power. It's him that giveth strength. You know, you ever been through a crisis? I know you have. You've been through a crisis. And it's amazing how the strength of God shows up in a time of crisis that you didn't ever think you would have. You prepare for that moment, and you even say, I don't know what I'll do if I lose them. I don't know what I'll do if I lost a child. I don't know what I would do if I lost my spouse. I don't know what I would do if I lost my home. I don't know what I would do if I got diagnosed with cancer. I don't know what I would do. We say things like that. I don't know what I would do if that was my kid in the car. Oh, my gosh, I don't know what I would do. When those moments, somehow we see the strength of God show up in ways that are supernatural, that gives us a comfort, an assurance, a peace that we can't have naturally because it's a supernatural occurrence. It is truly the strength of God showing up in our lives, giving us and equipping us with what we need in those times of crisis. We have seen it. I've experienced the strength of God in a time where I should not be very strong. But somehow I am because God is holding me up. Just like the beautiful poem Footprints you all know and read, where there's 2 sets of footprints in the sand along the seashore. There's 2 sets, you know, and then all of a sudden, in the darkest, worst time of this guy's life, he looks down, and during that time, during that season, it goes from 2 sets to 1 set of footprints. And he asked God, he said, you were with me all of this time, but then when it got hard, when it got bad, when I got low, it went to 1 set. God, why did you leave me? Where did you go? And he looked at him and said, son, I was carrying you. I was carrying you. That's the strength of God. That's what he does. He carries us. Like a fireman rescuing someone out of a burning apartment, God carries us. And he holds us up in times that we can't hold ourselves up. He holds us up when there's times that all we can do is lay in bed and not even want to roll over, even take a foot on the floor. God shows up and strengthens us because it's him that gives us that strength to move forward and to go on. You are strong enough through Christ. Psalm 73. Verse 26, I like this verse, Psalms 73, 26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Yes, we fail. Our flesh fails. Our strength fails. Man, our hope fails. It doesn't make you unholy or unchristian to question things. It doesn't make you less of a Christian to challenge why things happen. It doesn't make you, you know what you are? You're human. You're simply human. You ain't got to raise your hands, but have any of you ever been angry when someone you lost died? Angry. Mad. You thought it's unfair. Not my husband. Not my child. not my wife, not my mom, not my dad. It's unfair, God. We all have felt that way because our hope within ourselves fails. Our strength within ourselves fails. But He strengthens our heart. He gives us what we need. He shows up in times of lowliness and lifts us back out of that mess and reminds us, I've got you, and you will get through this. I promise you, child of God, you will get through this season. Let my strength carry you. It's okay. The church is not for the ones, just like the Pharisees, the church and the kingdom is not for ones that just are self-righteous and self-pious and say, I'm okay, I don't need you. It's for the ones that cry out, oh God, I need you. Every hour, every day, Lord, I need you. Every moment, God, I need you. I can't go a single moment without needing you. It's okay to call upon God. It's okay to depend upon God. It's okay that your world is all falling apart and you don't have any direction. That's okay. That's where God comes in. First Peter tells us to cast all your care on Him. Cast it all because He cares for you. Give it all to Him. He wants that. He desires that. It's not up to you to be strong. It's up to you submitting to God to be strong. And that's something that many can't do is submit because of pride. It's a shame. They miss out on great blessings. Psalms 118. Psalm 118, verse 14. The Lord is my strength and song and is become my salvation. He is my strength and my song. You know, music is a very powerful thing, isn't it? You can hear a certain lyric. Maybe you're at Walmart or wherever you're at, and you hear something on the radio, and that song gets in your head all day long, don't it? Like, I hope this song, All Things Possible. I hope you sing that tomorrow at lunch, you know? You know, Mike and Pam are heading back down to Pittsburgh, and all of a sudden, Mike's over there, all things are possible, all things are possible. Things get in your head, and you sing it, especially Christmas songs, right? You'll be singing Rudolph now for 2 months because you're going to hear it every single day. Rudolph, the Red Nose, I mean, you'll hear it, and you'll be singing it all day long. It gets in your head. We got to let Jesus get in our head. Sing His song. Sing the songs of God. Let that get in our spirit and realize He is our strength and He is our hope. We sing a song in the fire department. My life is in You, Lord. My hope is in You, Lord. My strength is in You, Lord. It's in You. It's in You. My life is in You, Lord. My hope is in You, Lord. My strength is in You, Lord. It's in You. It's in You. And I'm going to praise You. Anyway, I did pretty good, though. But our hope, our life, our strength, it's in Him. As we sing those songs to Him, you know what happens? I mean, when we go to a football game, a baseball game, a basketball game, a concert, any kind of event, it could be an ice skating Disney event. Not that I go to those, but, you know, it could be one of those. And whatever event we're at, man, we're into it. We are into it. At that Steelers game, and they're introducing the players. I videotaped the introduction because it was just so amazing. The introductions, introducing those players, man, they were into it. Terrible towels were waving. Name was being screamed across the big PA. The guy was changing his voice the way he did it. You know, it wasn't just introducing number 7, Ben Roethlisberger. Introducing your quarterback, number 7, Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, man, who wouldn't shout? If you didn't like him, you'd be like, yeah, Ben, go. They made it so appealing. They made Brussels sprouts look like T-bone steak. That's because of the atmosphere and the creation of exalting something. Man, if we could learn and exalt that. I told Mally, this morning probably wasn't the morning, but I told Mally, I said, I should do that with the worship team one morning, you know. Introducing at keyboard, Marjorie Meredith. On the vocals, Jewel. On the guitar, Chuck Waldrop. I mean, think how that would just excite us.
and your speaker for the day, not me. Don't. If you're speaking for the day, Jesus Christ. I mean, think about that. Just excites you, don't it? I mean, man, we got to know who we serve and who we're serving. That's where our strength comes from. I mean, my Lord, things are going to happen. Problems are going to come. But don't we serve the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords and the head of all things and the name above all names? That's who I serve. So when I know who I serve, my God, I'm going to be strong and face challenges and realize, God, you are in this. And all things are possible. And you are working things out for my good, whether I see it, whether I believe it, whether I know it, whether I accept it. I know you're moving on my behalf. And God, I'm going to trust you more than I trust what's happening to me. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Look at this. Fear not, I'm with you. Fear not, I'm with you. Be not dismayed. Don't be discouraged. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. Your right hand with my right hand of righteousness. I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. I'm your help. I'm your strength. And I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm present with you. I'm not some distant God sitting on a cloud floating over China right now where you can't see me. Man, I'm with you. I'm not so far away you can't hear me talk, you can't see me move, that you can't feel my hands touching your life. I'm not so distant and far away that you have to somehow go a certain place or do a certain thing to see me or hear from me. I'm now. The Bible says I'm a present help in your time of trouble. I'm now. I'm here. I'm with you. And I'm thankful for that we have a God who is with us and who's present. And who holds us up with his hand. Then chapter 40, the chapter right before that, chapter 40, verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth our strength. I am thankful that he brings strength to our weaknesses. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Those that wait on the Lord, wait on him to give you the strength that you need. Don't try to go off half-cocked in this world and doing things yourself and trying to fix everything yourself. Let God's strength, let God's power show up in your lives and do things that no man can do. Because all things are possible with God. I know it's a negative world we live in. I know that the media's job is to spin the most negative spider web it can and make you think that the sky is falling, as the old fairy tale story we read as a child. The sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. The sky can't fall if God's hand's holding it up. If his righteous hand, church, is holding it up, it can't fall. Don't let all the negative stuff you're hearing, how bad everything is, get into your spirit and pull you down and brainwash you into thinking that everything's a disaster. Man, we serve a God. If we truly believe we're part of his kingdom, what does his kingdom even matter? Part of God's kingdom. I mean, I'm part of God's kingdom. That's all that matters. If you're working at Walmart, what do you care what Kmart's doing? As long as Walmart's taking care of me, I'm good. I don't care what Kmart's doing. Let Walmart take care of me. That's all I worry about. My paycheck comes from Walmart. Let Kmart, let Target, let all of them do what they want to do. Walmart's my provider. Well, if God is our provider and he is our king, don't let everything else out here affect you. God, you're taking care of me. I know the news says that you know, the economy's bad, but my bills are paid. I know the news says kids running wild, but, you know, my kids are all right. You know, I know the news says that every politician is crooked, but you know what? I'm still making a way, and they ain't affecting my life. If we would learn to trust God and his kingdom and not let everything pull us under and get us in this way of just, don't let the crutch of the world get inside of you. We know the world's corrupted. We know there's darkness. We know that.
But I know where the light's at. And that's what I choose to stay in, the light of God. I choose the light, not the darkness. I choose to stay in the presence of God and not let the enemy lie to me and pull me into what they want me to believe. I trust God. Every generation's had it. Every generation's had sin. Every generation's had bad stuff. Everybody knows what the first job in America, the world was, right? Prostitution. It's the oldest job in the world. That's not something that just happened the last 30 or 40 years. That's always been prostitution. People selling their bodies. It's always been something. Look at the corruption in Daniel's day, in David's day, Abraham's day. I mean, all these generations, thousands of years ago, there was corruption, there was evil, there was sin, there was darkness. But these men of God stood in that darkness and says, I refuse to let the darkness swallow me up. I choose the light to lift me out. I choose the light to pull me out of darkness and not be overcome with that, but be overcome with the light of God. That's where our strength's at. A couple more verses, we'll close out. 2 Corinthians 12:9. This is Paul. This is where Paul had prayed for his infirmity to be taken care of. Now, there's been many speculations of what this issue Paul had was, whether some scholars think he had a blind eye, some think he had other physical issues, some think it maybe it's a spiritual thing he battled. Nobody really knows exactly what Paul was praying for, but Paul had something in his life that he needed deliverance from. It was to a point it was affecting his day-to-day life, and he prayed, God, help me take it away. And here was God's response. Jesus said to him, and the words, my grace, starting there, and should be in red in your Bible. This is Jesus speaking. He said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Just let that sink in a minute. Just the grace that God has is all we need. Just the grace. Lord, your grace is really all that I need. For my strength is made perfect or complete in weakness. My strength is made complete in your weakness. When do we see God move the most in our lives? When we're at the lowest point of our lives. We usually see God move the most in our lives when we're at a point of searching for him, seeking him, calling out to him. When we've lost all hope ourselves and we're in a place of desperation, we begin to call out the name of the Lord, and we begin to see a strength and a power that we didn't have before, because we have depleted ourselves and opened ourselves to all God has for us. See, for us to walk in God's strength, we have to deplete ourselves of ours and say, God, no more me, but you. More of you, less of me. As the song Mally sings, I want more of you, Lord, and less of me. More of you, less of me. Because the more of God that's in me, the more my life will be directed God's way. And the more peace and the more strength that I'll have. So Paul said, now this sounds like an odd verse, this next verse and a half here. It sounds kind of odd. Most of us wouldn't say this. But Paul's making a point. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. I'd rather go through junk if I have to, if it means that the power of Christ will rest upon me. I'll go through stuff if it means that I get the power of Christ upon my life. The next verse says this. I take pleasure. Now, none of us say this. I mean, think about this. I take pleasure in infirmities. Nobody wants infirmities. In reproaches. I like being rejected. I like being unfriended on Facebook or my request sitting there hanging in space, not accepting me. That's all right. Bad people. In necessities. In persecutions. In distresses. In other words, I take pleasure in all the problems, all the storms, all the attacks. I take pleasure in that for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When I'm weak, when I finally give up and say, God, I can't do this no more. Then all of a sudden, he says, finally, I can step in. Like the old joke with the guy in 9 for directions, right? You ride around. Melon's like, you don't know where you're at. I do know where I'm at, Melon. This street, I'm pretty sure it comes out over here. I know where I'm at. And then I get to a place that I'm too scared to even look at anybody. And I'm like, okay, you were right. I'm lost. I better pull over and ask for directions. I'm not going to get where I'm going if I don't stop and ask someone how to get there. And I can be so proud, and I can be so within myself, because we all have a certain amount of pride. We all have that stuff. Some people call it stubbornness. So Some of us call it, you know, just some of it's good old stubbornness. I'm just stubborn. But when we're stubborn, we miss out on what God wants to do for us. Sometimes we got to eat some crow to grow. I just made that up. We got to eat some crow to grow. We don't like eating crow. Crow don't taste good. I don't care what state you're from. In West Virginia, crow don't taste good. Crow don't taste good. We don't like eating crow because it means that we were wrong. And we don't like to say we were wrong. But until we say we were wrong, it can't be made right. So eat the crow so you can grow and become weak in yourself so you can become strong in Christ. The last verse closes out powerful. We know this verse, 4:13. We've heard it our whole lives. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I could go, you know what this is saying? I could go through any battle. I can face any storm. I can slay any giant. Any lion's mouth can close. I can do anything through Christ, which strengthens me. Anything. I can get through every season. I can get through every heartache, every heartbreak, every sickness, every disease. I can get through every problem, every financial difficulty, every strain, every tormenting spirit. I can get through everything through Christ because He's my strength. And He lifts me up and lifts me out and carries me forward. And I can walk in joy even when I shouldn't have joy. I can walk in joy. I can walk in peace when I shouldn't have peace. When others can't sleep at night because their minds are racing with restlessness, I can lay down and close my eyes and rest in the grace of God. It is sufficient. It is enough. So you may not feel that strong today, but you can be. And you can leave here this morning empowered with the strength of God. You can walk through depths of life without drowning. You can go through deserts without fainting. You can climb mountains without falling because of the strength of God in your life. I want God's strength. You and Chuck, y'all come on up. Get ready. They're going to sing a song here at the end of service. I want to open the altar up this morning for anyone that wants to come while they're singing and just talk to God and say, Lord, I need your strength. I am struggling. I am failing within myself. I'm in a place, a bad place I don't like myself in, and I need your strength to pull me out. I don't like the season I'm in. I don't like where I'm at right now, and I need to be delivered. I need to be pulled out of this pit that I'm spiraling in, the chaos is in my life, the uncertainties in my life, the fear that I'm facing, and I'm trying to fight it, I'm trying to do it all on my own. And you want the strength of God this morning to say, you know, Lord, help me. God, I'm just asking for help. I want to open up the altar this morning for you to come and just pray and talk to God. Get what you need this morning. This is what church is about. It's for us to come together, to hear from God, to talk to God, and to leave changed by the Word of God. If you're weak this morning and you need strength, they sing this song. This song is you're doing oceans still. Doing oceans. It talks about how through the waves I'll keep my eyes above the wave. I'll keep my eyes looking forward even when I'm surrounded and the waters cover me up. I'll keep my eyes up on the Lord. Knowing He's enough. If you need some strength today, come talk to Him while they sing this song.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery of oceans deep. My faith will stand, and I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When ocean oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine.
Thank you, Lord.